Dear God, we recognize that it's all about you. We seek you. We pray, Lord God, that your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you. We invite you. We welcome you. Say what you want to say. Do what you want to do in this class tonight. And we give all honor and all glory and praise to you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Just to clarify, I guess for your sake and for the sake of our online students, we are still in chapter 3. What is prayer? And I think what we did was we took a little side trip and we were talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, how to receive it, and most of all, how to minister to others the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And that was a question on the test. Let's see, I think it was what? You receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit the same way you receive salvation. Y'all remember that question? Yeah. And it was true. It was true. I don't know what you put. Amen. hallelujah. But, you know, the main thing was, you know, in that last class, it was just like an urgency and very, very important for us to understand that we need to pray in the Spirit. It is just so important. I have some points. If we have a chance tonight, I'll go over some of those that Apostle has given us about the principles and the benefit of praying in the Holy Spirit. And it's awesome, okay? So let's just hope that we'll get to it. But I wanted to bring you back to a couple things that I said the last time we met. How many of you remember I said that I was praying and I got all excited, and then all of a sudden, you know, I heard those words, bury the hatchet and forget where you buried it. Okay, now, we all know that that's talking about forgiveness, right? What I neglected to emphasize is that one of the greatest hindrances to effective prayer is unforgiveness. If you have unforgiveness anywhere in your heart, in your life, it can be the greatest hindrance to effective prayer, to getting your prayers answered. Now, in your book, it's further back. But while we were there, why don't you go ahead and turn to, there are two places I want you to turn. Let's go back. Apostle talked about Mark 11. Let's go to Mark 11. And we know that Mark 11:24, it's a prayer scripture. 11:23, it's like a confession. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, and since he talked 22, I mean, you know, I might as well go ahead and include 22 in there. Mark 11:22. And I'm going to read all the way to 26. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Here we go with our prayer. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. But look at 25. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Amen. So if Jesus said, you know, right after these are powerful scriptures here in Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. And then he ends it by saying, forgive. And if you do not forgive, then neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you. Amen? So it is important, you know, for us to remember that since we are learning to pray and to pray for results and to pray effectively, if there is any unforgiveness in your heart, you know, deal with it. Get rid of it. You know, go to God. And then, you know, I don't know if y'all are anything like me, but there have been times, you know, and I say, okay, I forgive. You know, and I pray and I pray and I pray and I forgive. And then maybe 2 weeks later, the thing comes back to me. I say, well, I thought I forgave. But, you know, Apostle was teaching us about faith tonight. And you forgive by faith. Matter of fact, we are the only ones who have the right to forgive. Amen. Here on earth, we're the only ones who can forgive our sisters and our brothers. Amen. Christians, we can do it. Nobody else can do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Then turn to Matthew 6. This is just to show you, you know, how important it is to deal with any unforgiveness. I said, oh, man, I had that opportunity, and I just missed that whole opportunity, you know, when I was talking about that hatchet. And by the way, I mean, one of our online students sent me an email, and she did some study on that, and she found out that the burying the hatchet was a Native American custom or tradition. That, you know, whenever something had happened and they wanted to make peace, she said, that's how you make peace. You bury the hatchet. Amen? And just think about it. If you forget where you buried it, that means you won't ever be able to go back and dig that particular thing up again. And that's what we want to do. You know, we want to, you know, forgive from the heart, mean it by faith. You know, and the enemy might try to bring it back on you, say, oh, well, you didn't forgive. Oh, yes, I did. You know, and you just remind him, you know, I forgave them, I released them, and that's it. It's done. Glory to God. And we know that in Matthew chapter 6, we have the Our Father prayer. Amen. But then we go through the prayer. It starts nine, verse 10, verse 11, verse 12, verse 13. And then we get to verse 14. And, you know, he says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Amen. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Okay? So the main thing is, let's deal with any and all unforgiveness in our hearts. Because sometimes, believe it or not, that's what's stopping our prayers from being effective. That's stopping us from getting results. I'll never forget, you know, one time I had I was in a battle. I was in a battle for my life. And one of the things the apostle said to me, he said, walk in love as much as you can. You know, it's like, walk in love, you know, and I'm saying to myself, well, with some people, that's going to be so hard, you know, especially when the enemy know that you're dealing with something. Oh, my God. Every hindrance, every roadblock, every stumbling block that's anywhere in the immediate area, he's going to bring it up. Why? Because he knows that as long as you're walking in love, you're walking in forgiveness, you're releasing people, then you're putting yourself in a position to receive all that God has for you. And he is trying to stop that. That is his job, to try to stop that. So as much as you can, walk in love. Amen? Now, we're going to begin to see some of these prayers, you know, being answered, because we're learning about the importance of praying. We're learning about the importance of praying in the Spirit. I think where I stopped the last time we looked at the chapter, in chapter 3, it was the one about God is looking for intercessors and worshipers. Y'all remember that? I had a little note here that I wrote. It says, praying in the Spirit. Our spirits are one with God's Spirit, given us. When we're praying in the Spirit, our spirit becomes one with God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which gives us access to the thoughts of God. Can you believe that? Praying in the Spirit. when you're praying in the Spirit, your spirit becomes one with the Holy Spirit, which is giving you access to the thoughts of God. And God can speak some things to you while you're praying in the Spirit. Amen? You know, it comes with training. It comes with development. You know, sometimes people say, well, I don't ever hear nothing when I pray. I pray in the Spirit, I don't hear nothing. God is always speaking. God is always speaking. The more we begin to build up our inner man, we begin to build up our spirit, we are positioning ourselves to be able to hear from God. Remember we looked at Jude 20, and ye beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Remember praying in the Holy Ghost. Write that scripture down. That's one of those apostles believes in, you know, in too, okay? Building yourselves up. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're building yourself up. And you're going to find that you're going to be in that position to really, really hear from God. Sometimes it's a phrase. Sometimes it's a word. Just keep praying. Keep praying, and he'll give you more revelation on what it is that he's saying to you. Amen? Let's see. I can go over just a few things here. We talked about what prayer was not. And we talked about prayer being a conversation or a dialogue between our born-again, recreated spirit and God. We pointed out that God is a spirit, and we talk and pray to him with our spirit. Amen? Glory to God. Let's see. On my way here to the intercessors and the worshipers, there were a couple other things that we talked about that I thought were important. Talked about perseverance in prayer. And then I think I at some point said, when God inspires us to pray, our attitude should be one of gratitude. We should feel privileged because God is using us as part of his divine plan. Amen. And see, that's what intercession is all about. And you're going to begin to experience this. God is going to lay somebody on your heart, okay? And you got to understand, we don't know what people are going through. Just because God gives you a name, you don't really know. You think you know. Sometimes we think we know. We know somebody's in a battle, or we know something, and, you know, the name will come up. The quickest, easiest, most effective way to pray for those people is to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen? That is the most effective people. I remember years ago, and I share these things with you, not because I think I'm all that, but just to show you, it works. Amen? The name just came up, and I started praying for him. I had no idea that, you know, anything was wrong, anything was going on, and I just began to pray for him. I had no idea why. I just started praying for him. And then maybe a couple weeks later, you know, I learned that he was doing a lot of traveling. Matter of fact, his mom told me that. He was doing a lot of traveling up and down the road. And his mom said, you know, I was just so worried about him because he falls asleep anywhere. You know, and I didn't even know he was traveling. But I'm pretty sure that there was a protection there. You know, God was looking for somebody to cover him, to protect him while he's gone. These are the kind of things that's going to begin to happen to y'all. You know, and every now and then, God will allow you to find out exactly what it was that you were praying about for somebody else. Amen. We are called to intercede. I don't know if you'll remember, but we did look at Ezekiel 22 and 30, and it was talking about standing in the gap. Amen. And so what God is calling us to do, he wants us to stand in the gap for others. Amen? I think it's 22 and 30, Ezekiel 22 and 30. God said, I sought for a man. But then the sad commentary on that scripture was, he said, and I found none. Amen? So we don't want it to be that God is looking for somebody to intercede on behalf of another human being, and he doesn't find any. You know, we want to be in a position to say, here I am, Lord, and then to go ahead and do it you're going to see it's going to begin to happen to you. Amen. Let's see, intercessors. One of the statements I made, the intercessor, this is, believe it or not, an intercession, and we're going to get to this a little bit later, it's a type of prayer. We're going to be looking at all the different types of prayer. Intercession is one type of prayer, and that's where you're standing in the gap and you're praying for somebody else. Now, we do this all the time. Somebody's under attack. You know, they got some kind of sickness. They got something going on, and we know about it. And so, you know, we'll intercede for them according to the word of God. Amen. But the quickest, best way, pray in the spirit for them. Amen. And then we say worshipers, our author. These are the two types of people that God is looking for according to our author. And he says, worshipers, they open the door for God's glory to descend. Amen. Worship, a true worshiper. John 4, you might want to just write this down. I'll read it for you. John 4, 23, 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Hallelujah. So we want to be intercessors, and we want to be, I'm going to put the word true worshipers. Amen. So that, I heard Apostle say, well, if you got true worshipers, there must be some false worshipers. Huh? Hallelujah. We don't want to be with those. We don't want to be with those. There's another part here. The author says, he says, prayer helps you to resist temptation. Isn't that something? Prayer helps you to resist temptation. Have you ever known Christians and you find yourself, you know, asking, well, how could they do this? And how could they do that? They're born again. And these people are genuinely born again. They are born again. You know, a lot of times we thought at some point, well, maybe they're not born again. Some of them are. Amen. But what they have done, they have neglected their prayer life. They have neglected their study of the Word of God. And so when temptation comes, they are not strong enough to resist it. The enemy has no fight from them in terms of resisting the temptation. When you spend time in prayer, you know, I guess your ability to discern, you know, when the enemy comes in. As students in this school, by the way, the enemy is not going to be able to come to you the same way he used to. You know, you're becoming more knowledgeable of the Word of God. Anointings are being imparted to you that you did not have before you came to this school. So he's got to get, the old people used to say, slick. You know, he's not going to come to you the same way he did before you came to this school. You know, he's going to try to deceive you another way. Amen? And so that's another reason why you have to pray in the Spirit. You have to build yourself up so that you will be able to discern when he comes. I mean, you know, he might get you for a day or two, but, you know, he won't be able to keep you for seven, you know, because eventually, you know, that Holy Spirit is going to nudge you. He's going to show you. You're going to see something. You're going to understand something. You're going to know something. Amen. And you're going to say, God has been too good for me for this. You know, this is how you're going to know. The Holy Spirit on the inside of you. He is your helper. Oh, my. He's your strengthener. He's your standby. Hallelujah. He guides you. He teaches you. And guess what? He corrects you. Hallelujah. And if he corrects you, then nobody else will have to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Prayer helps you to resist temptation. Matthew 26, 41 says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Amen. Prayer prevents us from falling into temptation, and it gives us strength to resist it. Amen. But if you don't pray, it's going to be easy prey. Hallelujah. Then prayer is the means that we use to lay down our burdens before God. Isn't that something? Lay down our burdens. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. 4:6, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about it. Amen. Don't worry about it. But in everything, literally say, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, the verse 7 is what I really like, because I walked in that one too. Amen. Oh, I want to share something with y'all. Yeah. Oh my, yeah. And I'm almost finished with that chapter too. But I wanna share something with y'all. 4:6, we read to be careful for nothing. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God. You see, when we don't worry about it, when we're able, as the author says, to pray and lay our burdens down before God, there is a peace that comes. Amen. That even though this thing is still going on, I can have, I heard people say peace in the midst of a storm. But I don't know if you've ever experienced real peace. I don't know if you've ever experienced the real deal peace in the middle of something that was going on. Amen? And I found out something. I found a secret. When that peace comes, again, going back to that same battle, or one of those battles. But anyway, I was just talking to this lady, and I said, and they want me to do this, and they want me to do that. I said, I don't know if I want to do that. And the lady, and she didn't even know. And this is how it happens with us all the time. And she said, she called me Joe. She said, Joe, if you got peace about it. And the light bulb came on. I said, that's it. I don't have no peace. I don't have no peace about what they're telling me. So I had to back up. I had to leave the thing alone. Couldn't mess with it at all. That's another thing. Our pastor told us years ago. He said there are very, very few true emergencies. Amen. Don't you start fighting in any battle until you got peace. Amen. Because otherwise, that's when he wrote that book, What to Do When Your Faith is Challenged. He was talking about beating the air. You're fighting. But you're not hitting that. You're not hitting that. Why? Because sometimes you're afraid. Sometimes you're confused. Sometimes you don't know what it is that you want to do. But when you back away from the thing, whatever it is that you're dealing with, sickness, financial problems, just back away from it and say, this is what I did. I say, Lord, I need some peace. And that's the scripture I went to. It was amazing, y'all. It was so amazing. I woke up the next morning. And I opened my eyes and I said these words, what a difference a day makes. And that's what it was. I could just feel it. I had such peace. But guess what came with the peace? Wisdom came. I knew exactly what to do. Amen. Wisdom. And it's like bonus. Oh, man, I was bad. I was so bad. It was unbelievable. And I said, oh, yeah, I know what to do now. And I call that doctor. And I said, this is what I want. And she said, I'm going to do this. I said, oh, no, we're not doing that. I'm going to do it this way. And I was prepared. As a matter of fact, I did fire her. That's another thing. Because my man of God told us years ago, he said, remember, doctors and lawyers, never be intimidated by them. They are your employees. You have hired them. They work for you. Always remember that. Do not be intimidated by them. We think we have to do what they say. No. You have hired them to give you their expert opinion. Okay? Find you one that you respect. Find you one that, you know this person is on the up and up and they're giving me their expert opinion. But in the end, they work for you. Amen. So I fired her. Amen. I had to fire her because it wasn't, no. But thank God. Thank God when that peace came, when I prayed for that peace, according to this scripture, 4:6-7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The old folks used to say, if you're going to worry, don't pray. And if you're going to pray, don't worry. Amen? See, you can't not worry unless you have asked God for the peace. Amen. And when that peace comes, then you're not going to worry. You know, you're going to be at ease. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we're talking about there. Prayer is the means we use to lay down our burdens before God. Okay. 10 minutes? Oh, I got 15? Oh, okay. All right. And then the last part of the chapter was, what challenges must we overcome before we, and he said, begin to pray. But I know everybody in this class is already praying, so it's not we beginning to pray. But just to remind you that we always have to overcome the challenge of time. We always think we don't have enough time. Okay? You got to make time for it. Make time. And I always encourage people, even if you got to start with 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, start there. Don't stay there. You know, but at least start there and say, okay, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And what's going to happen, you're going to find out that this is such an investment. You know, this is exactly what I need, that you're going to go from 5 minutes to 10 minutes to 15 minutes to 20 minutes to an hour. Amen? And then we need to deny the desires of the flesh. Like I told you, the flesh say, I'm tired. Flesh say, I'm sleepy. My leg hurt, you know, all that kind of stuff. Prayer is a necessity, and if it is not practiced, we run the risk of drying up spiritually. And when we dry up spiritually, that's when we remember fall into temptation, and all of these other things begin to happen. Amen? We're going to learn some more about praying in the Holy Spirit, and how to minister the baptism in the Holy Spirit to others, okay? But these are some principles and some benefits of praying in the Spirit that Apostle shared with us. And I just wrote them down as bullets. And I'm just going to give bullets, and maybe at some point, you know, we might be able to share a little bit more on each and every one of them. But I want you to turn right now to 1 Corinthians 14 and 2. I think y'all are very, very familiar with that scripture. I think I heard Pastor Walker talking about it. 1 Corinthians 14 and 2. That went real good. Look at there. I still got time left. I didn't know that. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14:2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, excuse me, speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Amen, mysteries. You don't have to turn to this one, but I want you also to remember 2 Corinthians 5:20. I think we went over this once before. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. To understand this scripture, you have to understand an ambassador. An ambassador is a representative from one country to another country. Amen. We are ambassadors for Christ. Our apostle has been teaching us, and I'm pretty sure teaching you, about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. We are actually citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. We are here on earth as ambassadors for Christ. Our home is the kingdom of heaven, but we're representatives here in the earth realm. And when I was studying this, one of the things I began to see, it's like when a person comes from Russia, what language do they speak? If they come from Czechoslovakia. Okay, yeah, you, yeah. And that's the language that they speak. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. What is the language of the kingdom of heaven? Spiritual language, speaking in tongues, that's it. And we are able to speak in codes. We're able to speak in mysteries when we pray in tongues. And, you know, we're finding that when we're praying in tongues, the enemy becomes confused about what in the world is going on. And not only that, that coded language, through that coded language, not only are we able to talk to God, but then God is able to talk to us. Amen? So, you know, this is another reason we do not want to neglect praying in the Spirit or praying in tongues. We're speaking mysteries. Oh, I think I'm going to start from the bottom because this one is so good since we're starting off about mysteries. One of the bullets was praying in tongues is praying things concealed to be revealed. Now that's a mystery, isn't it? Praying in tongues, you're praying things that are concealed to be revealed. And this is what Apostle shared with us. He said, it's concealed from you for you. Amen. Concealed from you, for you. It's a mystery. Amen? It's a secret. And it becomes between you and God. And that, you know, sometimes, I'm trying to remember exactly the way Apostle, and I won't get it exactly the way he said it. Amen? But, you know, sometimes it's not, it's future. It's future. This one is future. We're not ready for it. Amen? But in the Spirit, God, when you're praying in the Spirit, God begins to reveal it to you. But it's concealed from the enemy. And sometimes it's concealed from you too. Because we'll go out there and we'll try to help God, like Sarah did. Amen? But, you know, we know God has spoken to us. He says some things to us. Amen? And we just gotta wait on him because we know God said it. And it's going to come to pass. Amen? So that was one of the benefits, he said, of praying in tongues. And then he gave us a principle. He said, praying in tongues opens the heavens and charges the atmosphere. Praying in tongues opens the heavens and charges the atmosphere. And I'm just going to give you the bullets tonight, and then we'll go back and we'll look at some of the scriptures another time. Okay, y'all got that one? Okay. Next one, praying in tongues opens the heavens and creates the atmosphere for the release of Shekinah glory. Amen? Praying in tongues opens the heavens and creates atmosphere for the release of Shekinah glory. Amen. All right, another bullet. Praying in tongues, this one is real good, y'all. Praying in tongues, magnify God. The bigger God gets, the smaller the devil will be. Amen? Hallelujah. Praying in tongues, magnify God. We know what that word magnify means. Make God big. Amen? Hallelujah. Yes, that sounds like El Shaddai. You know? God who's more than enough. And when you begin to pray in the Spirit, you begin to sense how big he is and how good he is. God, you bigger than this. Amen. God, you bigger than that. But it comes when you're praying in the Spirit. You know, you bigger than this sickness. You're bigger than this trouble. Amen. The bigger God gets, the smaller the devil will be. Praying in tongues enlarges your perceptions of God's power in your life. That's what that magnify means. It enlarges. Okay. It enlarges your perception of God's power in your life. And he told us he was going to come back and teach us on this one. He says, when you pray in tongues, it activates angels. When you pray in tongues, it activates angels. Now, we know that when you pray, angels get to moving. Amen? Because we saw that with Daniel. You know, and then the angel came and he said, from the first day you prayed, I heard you. Amen? And I'm come for your words. Isn't that something? I'm come, you know? So when we pray in the Spirit, it activates angels. And then this was a bullet. He said the supernatural, and I think he said it tonight, is not an event, but it's a lifestyle. And because you're students here, the supernatural is becoming your lifestyle. Hallelujah. Praying in tongues, another bullet, is the entrance to the supernatural. You see, when you're praying in tongues, you're already in the supernatural. You're not trying to get in the supernatural. You're in the supernatural because praying in tongues is supernatural. Amen? You're not praying in your own language. You're praying that divine supernatural language. It is the gateway into the spirit realm. That's how you get into the spirit realm, by praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is the key that unlocks the spirit world. When you pray in tongues, you're automatically in the spirit. You're entering God's miracle zone when you pray in tongues. Yeah, it's kind of hard to get there, you know, just praying in your understanding. Because keep in mind, our understanding is so limited. You know, we're human beings. And I don't care how smart you are or how much you think you know, you're still limited. God is infinite. Amen? But when you begin to pray in the Spirit, in that heavenly language, then, I mean, it's just so much more. That, you know, you're communicating with heaven in that heavenly language, in that spirit language. Praying in tongues is a direct line to God. Okay, I'm going to have to hurry up. I got 3 minutes. Praying in tongues is speaking divine mysteries, divine coded secrets. Coded. Nobody but you, your spirit and God's spirit. Amen? When you pray in tongues, you're praying the secret will or secret plan of God. Secrets or plans will be made known to you when you're praying in the Spirit. And then praying in tongues will impart blessings and impact your life. You're prophesying. When you're praying in tongues, you are prophesying your God-ordained future. You're making a path of blessing and power for you to walk in and enjoy. Praying in tongues will impart blessings and impact your life. You are prophesying your God-ordained future. You're making a path of blessing and power for you to walk in and enjoy. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody need me to repeat any of them? I think I did them in order. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right. Okay, y'all can stand. Father, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you for this school, Lord God. We want to thank you for the apostle. Thank you, Lord God, for giving him this vision to have this school, Father, where men and women can come and be trained, Lord God, to hear from you, to seek you, Lord God, to know and to understand your will. We thank you for all the instructors. We thank you, Lord God, for all the students, Father, those who are here and those who are here by internet, Lord God. We praise you and we honor you for it all, Lord God. And we give you the glory, Father God. Be magnified. Be magnified in each and every life, Father God, that is here in this school. Touch every home. Touch every family, Lord God. We pray for your will to be done in earth as it is in heaven. We're praying for days of heaven on earth. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all be blessed. Hallelujah.